Let's turn to the book of Romans. We'll be reading from verse 8 to verse 17. Now let's stand, all right? We are going through the book of Romans in our church. And the primary purpose is to ground us in the faith, all right? The Romans is a systematic presentation of the gospel and also of the Christian life, how we need to live it and how we need to practice those things, okay? That is reflective in the Bible. We'll be reading from Romans chapter 1, verse 8 to 17. And we're going to touch on how Paul teaches us to relate to each other, all right, as believers in Christ, okay? Let's read all together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that I roam also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Apostle Paul and his dedication to the commission you've given to him. Lord, thank you that he is able to write, Lord, more than half the New Testament according to your will. Today, Lord, we have a passage whereby he greets the Romans, Christians. Lord, through that we can learn, Lord, how we are to relate one to another as Christians, as brethren in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of love and oneness that we can experience, but Lord, we want it to grow, and we pray that through the understanding of your word, our Christian lives might be changed. And Father, for one who is seeking the truth in this world, in this life, I pray, Lord, that you open their eyes to your word as only you can. That, Father, it will change us into the type of person you want us to be. If there's someone who is not saved, who have never heard that Jesus Christ loved them, I pray, Lord, through the preaching of your word, they may understand. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Hide me behind thy cross. May the words I speak, Lord, be truth and grace according to your will. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Before I go into the message, it's going to be quite straight to the point. There are 6 points. But I want to highlight one thing. Paul did not plant the church in Rome. Okay? So if you read the book of Romans, you think, oh, Paul must have planted. No, he did not plant the church. Well, this church wasn't planted by the Apostle Paul. Okay? It wasn't planted by the Apostle Paul. Probably it was planted by proselytes from Rome. Okay? In Acts chapter 2, verse 10, you'll find in the day of Pentecost, there was this great feast, okay? The day of Pentecost was a festival of the Jews, and 3 feasts in the Jewish calendar, even up to today, the Jews are supposed to turn up in Jerusalem, okay? The Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of the Weeks, or Feast of Tabernacles, okay? So these 3, all the meals are supposed to be at Jerusalem, okay? And according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 10, as you can see there, it's not in the verses, Perga and Pamphylia in Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome. Okay, those people who came, these were proselytes, these were people who were from Rome, but they converted to the Jewish religion, and so they were in the day of Pentecost, and so they were there when Peter preached the message that 3,000 got saved, and many commentators speculate, and they probably is right, that these Roman Jews who went to Jerusalem became Christians when they heard the preaching of Peter, went back and started their church there. And so Paul wrote a letter to them. Paul has never seen these Christians before. I want us to, this is a very important note. He has never seen these Christians before. Okay? He has never seen them before, but he wrote the book of Romans. He wrote the book of Romans stating his intention. He wants to visit them. He wanted to visit them. Okay? After this, I'll go through that. He wanted to visit them. He actually went to Rome, but he went to Rome as a prisoner. Okay, for those who read the book of Acts, towards the end, Acts chapter 26, 27, 28, talks about his trial before King Agrippa and all the things that happened before he actually ended up in Rome. Okay, and he went to Rome as a prisoner, and he was going to be executed by Nero. But you know what, in the time that, even before he was there, his heart was a buzz, meaning he was so excited there was a church in Rome. I'm going to Rome as a prisoner, but I'm excited to go and see the Christians. I'm excited to go and see the Christians. You know, this world have this world's way of relating to one another. And I find very much in Singapore, the way people relate to one another is at Starbucks. Or maybe some of these coffee joints. There's a lot of new coffee places. You know, just come and hang out and just kind of know one another. And that's fine. I think it's good. I love coffee. May not go to Starbucks for other reasons, but I'm not saying the coffee is bad. There are other reasons I will not patronize that. But we kind of just hang out and just sit down and just know one another and we relate to one another. And I think in the world they have their way of relating. You know, we ourselves, as we relate to one another, whether it's a Christian or how you relate to your bosses and all that, we may have our prejudices and all that. You know, as believers in Jesus Christ, God has His way that He wants us as Christians of how we relate to one another. And Paul, in his writings, gives us some understanding of how we need to relate. We want to actually get some idea how, as believers, we need to relate to one another. Right? So, in Proverbs, Romans chapter 1, let's look through the six ways that Paul teaches us of how we need to relate to one another. The first thing is, he was thankful for them. The Bible says very clearly, the first thing he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. First, I thank my God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for you all. You know, Christians, we need to be thankful for one another. Now, I like to practice one. Why don't you turn to someone right now and tell that person, I thank God for you. Well, do it. Come on, guys. Come on. Well, turn to someone and say, I thank God for you. We need to practice, right, what we preach. Yeah, I thank God for you, guys. So let's go to one. Well, if you're sitting by yourself, just know sometimes. We need to learn to thank God. The fact that we are here, we need to thank God for that. We thank God. Paul says the first thing he does in our relationship with one another is to thank God for each other. If you are believers in Jesus Christ, we need to be thankful that we have another brother and another sister. We need to be thankful for one another. I think so. We always like, Pastor, what are you doing? Well, we need to be practicing what God says. Okay, we need to be thankful for one another. But you know, as we move on, you look at what Paul did. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. What did he thank God? He thanks God for their faith. He thanks God for their faith. Believers in Christ, we need to be thankful for one another for many things. For the fact that we have friends, that we have people around us. But you know, we need to be thanking God for the faith in each other. That we are Christians. You know, in the Roman times, it was an important thing because Christianity just started. It just started. The book of Romans was probably written about 20 years after Jesus Christ went back to heaven. And so it was just started. The number of Christians may not be as much as it is today. Today, the Christians number in 1 billion. I'm not too sure. It probably is a mixture of all kinds of people who call themselves Christians. But genuinely born-again Christians are all over the world now. But right now, right that time during the Rome, can I say Paul was only one missionary? There were 11 other missionaries. Who are they? 11 apostles. Okay? And he said Thomas, for example, Thomas went as far as India to preach the gospel. Today you go to India, you have the Church of St. Thomas. Why? The apostle Paul, they took Jesus' word literally and they went to the uttermost parts of India, and Thomas was killed in India for preaching the gospel. There's a Church of St. Thomas today in India, because Apostle Thomas went there. But you know what? Paul, thank God for the Christians, because they were limited number. But you know what? We were thankful for their faith. For the faith that he sees in them. Remember, Paul had never met them. But Paul said, I thank God for you because your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul was thankful for their faith and their testimony. When was the last time someone thanked God for your... When was the last time you thanked God for someone else's faith? And when you look at a person and say, I thank God for that person who is faithful. I've got many people in my mind I thank God for your faith. But you know what's more important? When was the last time someone thanked God for your faith? And I believe that's something that we need to consider. Let's be thankful for the Christian faith that we have. We have BFF. What is BFF? Teenagers. What is BFF? Not Bodybuilding Federation, is it? No. What is BFF? Best friends forever. See, even a Primary 2 girl knows. You've got a lot of best friends forever, right, Christians? Why is that person your best friend? Why is that person your best friend? There are many reasons a person can be your best friends. You may have best friends because they go through tough times together. But you know, for the Apostle Paul, he related to this. He thanked God for them because of their faith and their testimony. And Christians, we need to thank God for each other's faith and testimony. That should encourage us to live by faith and have a good testimony. Okay? The number two thing, moving on, this leads, the thanksgiving leads to the next thing. In Romans chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, it says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. The second thing he does is that he prays for them. He prays for them. How we need to relate to one another. We pray for each other. We need to learn to pray for one another. Paul says, without ceasing, I pray for you all. Paul has never met them. Paul has never met them. You know, one of the things we do today in modern day Christianity, and may I just highlight this, we go to a party, we go to a church, we go to a place, many times dependent on who's going. Agree? Agree? But when you have the Spirit of Christ, you may not have seen these so-called believers before, but you want to be with them. And this is something that, or rather, you pray for them. He always mentions them in prayer. Sorry, I skipped my point. But he prays for them. He always mentions them in prayer. Why? Why? Brother Johnny, why should I pray for one another? Can I give you this verse from the Bible? Why you need to pray for one another? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, you also helping together by prayer for us. Paul is saying, look, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul was going through a hard time. In fact, when he was in Corinth, people rejected him. And God had to, Jesus had to personally come and strengthen Paul and say, Paul, continue on for many people in this city. Paul continued to preach for 18 months after that. He was very, very discouraged because the Corinthians were rejecting his message in the book of Acts. But the Lord Jesus Christ came. He kept on preaching. He left and he wrote back hearing all the problems. He was going through persecution. He was going through a hard time. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But he said, because you guys were praying for us, you helped us. That's what he says. He says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. You know what's that gift? Paul and his fellow workers, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, was nearly executed or nearly thrown into prison, there was serious things that was going to happen. But you know, God gave them a gift. What's a gift? Deliverance. God protected Paul and his associates as they preached gospel simply because the Corinthian church prayed for them. We need to be people who pray for one another. We need to be people who pray for one another. There are some people who are going through trials in their lives that you and I may not know, but God may say, I want you to pray for this person. You know those, I'm sure some of you want to come yesterday for the prayer and fasting, and we pray for many of you by name. We don't know what's happening in your life, but we pray that God will be a challenge in your life and God will continue. Why? Because we need to help one another by prayer. If I cannot influence you, God can. And our job is to pray for one another. Paul prays for them. Okay? And the next one, he hopes to see them. In verse 10, making requests if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God. Notice his submission. He says, look, I'd like to come, but you know what? God has to tell me yes or no, but I really want to come. It shows God, Paul's desire to be with the believers by the will of God to come unto you. I know some of our fathers here go overseas for work, or some people, you know, like Brother Chai Heng, or some people, Brother Jun goes overseas. You know, I don't know, I may be putting him on the spot, but I know this as a father. I know Brother Gideon will have that experience as a father. You want to see your children. And, you know, after a hard day's work, and you go at the door, and your children run to you, you know, it's like, all your worries are gone. You know, and you have that. You know what? Paul has that sense of endearment to the believers. He hasn't met them before. You know why he has that the personal connection with them? Because of Christ. I remember many years ago when I was I wasn't married at that time. We went Taiwan for training. It was many years ago. And we have R&R. Some of you may know what's R&R. Rest and relaxation after the training. You go R&R. And I got 4 days and went over to Sunday. And I remember attending a church in Taiwan. I fell asleep. Why? Because they preached in Mandarin. And my Mandarin was no good. But I know they were sincere believers. And after the service, I walked out like anyone will do. But you know, it was something in my heart. I just needed fellowship with them. And so after walking about 100 meters, I said, no, I'm going back for fellowship. I don't care whether they understand me or not. And you know what? There was a mom and a son. He's probably about 20s. He's a bit older than me. He welcomed us. And he said, oh, we speak in Mandarin now. I try my best to speak in Mandarin. My Mandarin was lousy. But you know what? There was that togetherness because they're believers in Christ. I haven't met them before. The reason why I brought it out is because it's very different today. Even among believers, we want to go because we feel comfortable. We need to want to meet a Christian because we are Christians. That was Paul's heart. Modern day thinking is I must be comfortable with a person, then I will go. If that person is a believer in Christ, and you know they are believers in Christ, our hearts need to be open. We want to see them. We want to be with them. You know, as people who come through Ambassador, we need to be wanting to see one another in Christ. All right? I'm not saying that we need to have that desire. Okay? So Paul hopes to see them. In verse number 11, Paul moves on to say, the reason why I want to see you, verse 4, is he hopes to strengthen them in their faith. He says, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. The word spiritual gift, to present something, a present that will benefit them, to the end he may be established. You know, the spiritual gift is not about speaking in tongues and all that. That was already past. It was only applicable in the New Testament when there was no completed Bible. But now all the Bible is out. We don't need the gift of tongues. It's passed away. Okay? Paul wanted to impart to them some spiritual gift. It could be a word of encouragement. It could be his influence. It could be his preaching. He said, I wanted to go and see you, not so that you can bless me, because I can bless you. Think about that. He hopes to be able to strengthen them. he hopes to be able to impart some spiritual gift to the other person, the Roman Christians, that he may, what, to the end, to the for the result of being strengthened, to the end that ye may be established in your faith. You know, as believers in Christ, when we relate to one another, we want to see whether that person is growing or not, not whether the person supports me or not. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that we cannot meet together for mutual support, but I'm saying that Paul wants us to learn. God's will is that when I meet someone, we need to be praying in our hearts, God, how can I be a blessing to this person? How can I make sure he grows a little bit more? Today, there are many social meetings of Christians that continues on, but their lives never change. They are never faithful to the word of God. They are never faithful to serve him. They are never faithful to continue on. Oh, they are very good friends. That is good. But their friendship is only on an earthly level. We need to have friends and relate to one another such that I challenge you in your faith to grow. I remember this from Evangelist Ron Comfort. I think some of you know him. He said, the ministry of the church is never to bring God down to the level of men. It's to bring men up to the level of God. That they will grow in Christ. They will grow in their holiness. That the people who may have struggles in their life begin to see that God can help them. You know, we are very good listeners, but we need to be good spiritual counselors. That we are able to say, like Paul said, I hope to impart some spiritual gift. A present. I don't know, Paul is apparently pretty rich. Okay, apparently he's pretty rich. The Bible says in Philemon, you know Philemon? Philemon was actually a slave who ran away. Okay, and then Onesimus was a slave who ran away. The book of Philemon, Paul writes to this slave owner and say, if Onesimus owe you anything, put that on my account. Paul meant that. In other words, Philemon, if you lost anything because Onesimus ran away from you, put them on my account. I'll pay for him. That's what Paul said. So Paul may be a pretty rich person, you know. But you know what? He's not referring to anything material that he can give to them. He's talking about a spiritual gift. When was the last time you received a spiritual gift from someone? Someone who said, I'll pray for you. Someone who challenged us in our faith and said, hey, yeah, I need to be reading my Bible more. I need to be praying more. You know, we live in an age that Christians don't like people to tell them what to do. You know, if your friend cared enough to scold you for your sin, you need to thank God for that. We are living in a culture that no one likes to be told what to do anymore. And yet the Lord said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you have a friend that's willing to walk up to you and say, you're in sin, my brother, or in sin, my sister, you need to be thankful for that. You know why? The day is coming that no one bothers about that anymore. You know what Paul says? Paul says, look, I hope to give you some spiritual gift. When we go through the book of Romans, you realize that Paul actually admonished them at certain points. He actually deals with them at certain points. Okay? He hopes to strengthen them that they may grow, that they may be established in their faith. No, we need to relate with one another from a biblical perspective whereby he hopes to strengthen them in their faith. If you are faltering, if you're not reading your Bibles, for the men, I'm challenging them, I'm challenging the whole church now. No regular Bible reading, no man of God. No regular Bible reading, no woman for God. We need to be in our Bibles every day, just like you eat rice every day, or maybe noodles or something. You need to eat every day. Okay? Why? Because that helps you to grow physically. But if you're not prepared to read the Bible, then you can't grow. And reading the Bible is not reading devotionals. Devotionals are for kids. If you have been a Christian for more than 5 years or even 2 years, sorry, Paul was dealing in the Corinthian church. He was telling this Christian, saying, look, you guys have been Christians for 3 to 5 years. Why are you still carnal? You know, if you're a young Christian, I understand the devotionals. You need to be in the Word. So Paul says, I'm coming to you that I may impart some spiritual gift that you will grow in your faith. We need Christians who care enough for one another that we come to church and say, hey, we're praying for you, man. How's your devotion? How's your reading of the Bible? How's your relationship? Are you growing? And you'll be willing to allow that person in to help you. You know, some people say, I will only answer certain questions. You know what? Paul says we need Christians who will say, he wants to strengthen them in their faith. We need Christians who care. I need people who care enough about me and say, Pastor, how are you? And we need to mutually encourage, okay? Point number five. He hopes to be mutually encouraged by the believers. Look at verse 12. That is, firstly he says, that I may impart some spiritual gift that you may be established. But you know what? Paul then goes in verse 12 and says, that is, let me clarify that, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. That as I meet you, hey, look, it's not a one-way thing. That I can challenge you, but I know you can challenge me too. We're brothers in Christ. The test of our Christian friendship is that I challenge you. We still remain Christian friends. But we still can serve God. Oh yeah, we may have differing views. But you know what? If we separate that Christ is our Savior, He's our Master, He's the one who called the shots. Now, we can disagree, but we are still workers with Him. That we can grow. So Paul says that I may be mutually encouraged, that I may be comforted together with you. The word comforter is interesting. It means sim parakaleo. Parakaleo is where we get the word paraclete from in the Bible. I'm trying to show my Greek, but it just something came to my mind. The word paraclete is another name for the Holy Spirit. Sim parakaleo simply means that I may be mutually comforted as we walk together as Christians in the faith. As we walk together as Christians in the faith. I'm thankful for many of the brothers today who actually ask me. They do ask me, Pastor, how are things and all that kind of thing. We walk together in the faith. Now, how do we encourage each other as believers in Christ? You know how do we do that? In 3 John, chapter 3, verse... Not chapter 3, sorry. 3 John, there's only one chapter in 3 John. Verse 3 and 4. You know how do we encourage one another in the faith? For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. You know how you can be an encouragement to me, man, that you are walking in the Word of God on a daily basis. You know how I can be an encouragement to you that I will live in the Word. You know how we can encourage one another as a church that we are all walking in the Word, walking in the truth. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, there are many students here, right? How many of you, 100%, if I give you a test today, you'll get full marks? No. But you know what? Many of you, I believe, are serious students. You'll study and all that. You'll try your best. Right? That's what Paul is saying. Are we in the Word of God, you know? And then, how do we encourage one another as believers in Christ? When we are walking in the truth. Of course, there are other areas of encouragement. I'm not saying... But you know, Paul actually teaches us that he wants to be encouraged by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Paul's not interested in anything else except your faith. You know why? You know why we need to be interested in that faith? Because that's the center point of your life. That's the center point of your belief system. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the center point of who you are. And if your faith is not strong, you are not going to be a stable person. And Paul is concerned and says, I want to be mutually encouraged by the believers. Can we be encouraged by one another by walking in the truth? Okay? Last one, and it is interesting. He shares his zeal for the ministry. In verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren. And now he goes to another point as an apostle, 三句不离本行, you know what I mean? Three sentences, he will not leave his main focus. He's an apostle. And as an apostle, his ministry is to make sure of the ministry God has given to him. And he said, I'm going there. He said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to be blur about this, okay? That oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was led hitherto. That means, look, I want to come, but you know what? I really want to come, but something happened, or I was hindered. Why do you want to come? That I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. Paul's desire and zeal for the ministry God has given to him. He shares his zeal. He knows that it is God's will for him. And so, in his relationship with a group of people that he has never seen before, he says, look, I want you to know I come so that I may have some fruit among you too. I've never seen you before. You know, it's interesting because Paul's heart wasn't on the things of this world. He didn't want to meet the believers so that, oh, we can go out and hang out, have a barbecue and all that kind of thing. Well, if it's a good platform for reaching out, he will be there. But you know, he's not interested in that. He said, I may have some fruit among you. Two types of fruit Paul was referring to: salvation of souls and the building up of Christians. And Paul was interested in that. He shares his zeal. Firstly, his purpose. He purposed to advance the kingdom of God. He purposed to advance the kingdom of God. That is his zeal. Christians, can I delineate clearly from the scriptures our duties in life and the ministry God has called us? All of us are called to be fathers. Not all, sorry, not some of you are not fathers here. Some are fathers, some are mothers, some are wives, some are children, sons and daughters. Those are your duties of life. That's a given. And some of you study, and some of you are working. That's a given duty. That's yours. You're supposed to be faithful to it. Because that's God-given, a duty that we are supposed to perform. And God has given us principles by which we have to perform that. For example, servants, obey your masters in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 5. We're supposed to obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Husband, love your wives. Wife, submit to your husbands. These are all given. It's all given. We're supposed to obey this. These are all given duties. But you know what? Do you have a ministry? Is there a ministry that God has given to you? And what is that ministry? We are so focused on the things of this world sometimes, we forget that God has given us a ministry. We touched on last week that God has called all of us to be servants. And servants have an area to serve in. And I'm thankful that some of you are involved. Paul has a zeal for the kingdom of God that he carries with him everywhere. You know, sometimes as believers, if all we do is live for the things of this life, we are too short-sighted. Colossians 3 verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the throne of God. Or we may be quite established in this world, but you know what? These worldly things are not going to give us spiritual happiness. I don't know about you. I think I shared this before. I'll share this again for the benefit of those who may not know the story. But there was a man in America. He's just a motor parts. You know, he deals with the motor parts. He's a faithful. He was in the company for over 30 years. Okay? And, you know, just a normal. He's a Christian and all that kind of thing, you know. And at his funeral, people were quite surprised that, well, where is all these people coming from? You know, there were so many people who came to his funeral. Little did many people know that he was a faithful worker Monday to Friday as a Christian. On every Saturday without fail for 30 years, he would go to a nursing home. He would preach and be a comfort to all the older ladies and the men that were there, dementia and all that kind of thing. He would be faithful there and he would be a cheerful, he would bring joy and a care to that person, and he will tell the gospel, and sometimes he's called to preach and all that. And, you know, testimony after testimony of the people, you know, those the nursing officer and all that came to his funeral and he shared, oh man, he was such a blessing to our old people, and whenever there's a need, he was there and he was always caring for them. But there were a few people from his industry who came. Friends, lah, of course, the motor parts industry. Now, yeah, he's a good man, he's a good Christian. But the majority of people who came to testify wasn't that he did a good job. His testimony was that he touched so many people's lives. Those in the children's ministry, can I challenge you? There will be some children whom you have taught at 3 years old, and next time they might be a pastor. Next time. For those in the youth ministry, you may be dealing with people with tattoos, and they may grow up to be counselors and helpers of other people. Oh, I need to share with you this one. I was listening to a message one. There was one guy, he's a professor, his name is Dr. Weeks. Okay? Dr. Weeks was a professor, and some of the students on the college, you know, that he was in America again. And every Friday night, and some of the students had to stay because they had nowhere else to go. And this Dr. Weeks would say, "Hey, guys, want to go to the football game?" You know, say, "Of course." Apparently, these students don't want to stay in, so they all went. All right, and they got the bus and everything, and they all went to the stadium and all that. And out of the blue, Dr. Weeks would say, "Hey, let's pray for that shirt number 60. The God will save him and use him." The evangelist, interestingly, who preached that message that I was listening to, said he didn't know, but he was invited to Dr. Week's funeral to say some things. He said that shirt number 60, playing on the football field, that Dr. Week said, "Pray for that guy, that God will use him mightily." The evangelist was number 60. Pray for him. He wasn't safe at that time. Our missionary, Sister Linda, has sent an email. There's a shortage of workers in Nepal. You know what she's praying for, asking us to pray? Pray for 5 men who will get saved and be preachers and reach out to these villages that we can't reach right now. The purpose to advance the ministry. He shared the zeal for his ministry. What are you zealous for? If you are zealous for the things of this world, you need to lift up your eyes and be zealous for the things of God a little bit more. You know, in our interaction with one another, God wants us to share our zeal for the ministry. I know it's not easy because some people are not interested in that, but you know what? We need to share it anyway because Paul did. Paul did. In John chapter, I'll just go through this. John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and appointed you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you." Paul was not going to Rome because he was interested in sightseeing. In fact, there was a lot of artifacts there, a lot of very great things, okay, in Rome, but he was not going there because of that. He's going there because he wanted some fruit. He wanted to advance the kingdom of our Savior. He also shared his full commitment to his calling. Look at verse 14. "I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. They are in Rome also." He said, "I'm a debtor." What's a debtor? A debtor is someone who borrows money and then owes the other person, right? Did Paul owe any of these people? You know what Paul's heart was in his ministry? He said, "Look, God has saved me, and he's appointed me to go out and tell people the word of God and gospel of God. It means that whatever God tells me, I owe that person. If I don't do it, then I fail." That's why he's saying, "I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians." The Greeks are the people who are very cultured, the philosophers, you know, like Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, these people. But then to the barbarians are those people who are not very cultured, the uncivilized people. To the wise and to the unwise. And he says, "As much as lies in me, I'll do the best I can. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you too." He was committed to his calling. He don't care who that group of people is. Okay? And some of you, there's one famous song, okay, a Christian song in the 1980s. "Lord, I'm your faithful servant. You know I have been for so many years. You know, every Wednesday and Friday and Sunday I'm in church. You know, I've even cried in some of the messages. Lord, I'll do anything you want, just don't send me to Africa." Just don't send me to Africa. Okay, that was an old American. But you know what? Nothing stops Paul. Paul, the fire of Paul for the people to come to Christ is unquenchable. I was talking to someone recently and asked, "Why are you so committed to the ministry? Why are you so committed to doing all these things?" You know what that person tell me? "Because souls are dying, going to hell. Because souls are dying, going to hell. Because souls are dying and going to hell." Is that enough motivation for you Christians to just rise up and say, "Hey, I've got to do something for Christ, man. I've got to do something for Christ. That your heart will break when someone sins. That you won't kind of try to, okay, like, it's okay. No, it's not okay when you sin. Jesus died for that sin. And sin brings people to hell. And sin destroys families. And sin destroys things. How can we, even as Christians, accept that? Christians, we need to be committed to our... For those who you are serving, can I say, get rid of that sin and stay faithful to that ministry that God has called you to. So that as you relate to one another, you'll be sharing what God has done in your life. Don't be ashamed of that ministry God has called you. But you know what? There's one more thing that Paul did. He's fully committed to his calling. He believes in the power of the gospel. He believes in the power of the gospel. Romans 1 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jews first, and then also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. He is not ashamed of the ministry. And therefore, he gives himself fully to it. Remember, it's the gospel of Christ that saves, not the church, not the Catholic Church, not whatever church that, not whatever belief system. It's Jesus Christ that saves. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No religious organization can save anyone in this world. You know, religious organization came from where? Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was man's attempt to reach God through religion. You know what God did? Scatter it. But you know what? The Bible says the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power. The word power means dynamite, dunamis. It is the thing that changes people's lives. You know what? Every believer has access to that power of the gospel. You don't save them. God does. But Paul says, look, I've got a... It's kind of like every time, you know, if you preach or whatever, it's kind of like you bringing a hand grenade into the church, you know. If it explodes, everyone will be affected. But you know one thing about God? When man makes something, it always hurts them. Okay, when man makes something, it always hurts them. Okay, I told this to my children before. How fast is the fastest missile in this world? Missile. How fast? 20,000 kilometers per hour? Anyone? I read it was about 20,000. You know how fast it is for the rocket to fly in order to break through the Earth atmosphere? 40,000 kilometers per hour. 40,000. Okay? For a missile to hit you, what's going to happen to Brother Jacob? Let's say the missile hits Brother Jacob. Let's say Kim Jong-un sends a missile into his house. What will happen to Brother Jacob? Because he's so slim, he may miss him. What will happen? The whole house will be destroyed. How fast is the speed of light? How fast is the speed of light? 300,000 kilometers per second. What happens when God's sunshine hits you? You feel the warmth. Does that make sense? You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ commands that we forsake sin. But you know what? It gives us life in Christ. Paul believes in the gospel. He believes in the changing power of the gospel. That's why he said, I'm not ashamed of it. Because of the ability of the gospel to save those who place faith in it. Because the gospel is the power to deal with sin. Get this very clearly, Christians. The gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't just bring you to heaven. It deals with sin. It deals with the sin in your life and everyone's life. And sets that person free from sin. And frees that person to serve Jesus Christ and live the abundant life. Last week we talked about grace being the ruling principle. It is. Once we are saved from that sin, we are eternally free to serve Christ, to serve the Creator. Last time when Adam and Eve sinned against God, we were brought away from Christ because of sin. But after we've trusted Christ, Jesus Christ died on the cross to bring us back. And so when we trust Christ as our Savior, it is never to live our own life again. It is to go back to the Creator again. Does that make sense? That's the gospel. It brings us back to the Creator so that we serve Him. You know, Christians, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. So don't build a condominium here. Set tents. Knowing that one of these days, you're going to leave this world. Do all you can to be a blessing to the people. If God calls you in the ministry, put your full commitment. You know what, Paul, you know how he related to the Christians? So I'm going to share with you my zeal of the gospel. As we close, how thankful are we for each other? Am I thankful for my Christian friend because of his faith? Or because he supports me in what I believe in? What about you? Men, I have a few men in the church I'm thankful for. Because they are looking me in straight the eye and say, Pastor, you shouldn't do that. You know why? I know they care. They care enough to say, Pastor, there's something that I think you have to rethink. They're not out to fight me. They're not out to oppose anything. Being in the ministry, I know when people want to oppose. All these people care. You know why? They tell me, but they keep serving faithfully. Because it's the ministry they were concerned about. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Christians who care enough to tell each other, hey, you need to walk right with God. I was recently with my wife, with someone else I had to deal with. And the person was just in trapped by his sin. And I just had to tell him, hey, you got to give it up, man. And he was hurting himself and all that. You got to give it up, man. He just doesn't want to give up. You know, there's nothing anyone can do if someone doesn't want to give up sin. But, you know, we need to be there as Christians. Are you thankful that my Christian friend, former Christian, because of his faith? How often do I pray for our Christian friends? Can I challenge us to make a list of all the people in your own life, church, our missionaries, basically our missionaries there too. Pastor John Schrader, for those who know him, is very sick. He came here from Israel. Our wife had a hard time. He has, I think, 11 children. Okay, he has 11 children, but all children are pastors. We need to pray for our missionaries. If they are having a hard time on the field, we need to pray for them. We need to support them where we can through communication and all that. The branch on it, if I put everyone on the list, I don't want to go to work, man. What about 100 people I have to pray for? Well, can I suggest you divide them like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Maybe you have 20 on Monday, 20 on Tuesday. Branch on it, 20 is still a lot. Then Monday, 10, morning 10, evening 10, you know, you can manage that. The important thing is you pray for them. It's a hard thing. Prayer doesn't come easily to the natural man. But as a Christian, our concern for someone else needs to be so strong that we put away what we selfishly feel and say, well, I'll still pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. How often do we pray for them? How is my evangelism life? Do we stay at home when other people are out? How is our evangelism life? Are we concerned about that? You know, Christians, we need to be concerned. Someone cared enough to tell us the gospel. We need to care enough to tell someone else the gospel. Christians, move out of that. Well, we'll just talk about the work. Let's do the work. Don't talk about the work anymore. Let's do the work. Don't talk about prayer. Pray. Don't talk about reading the Bible. Read. You know, don't talk about winning souls. Go. And you have an opportunity. Invite your friends. I challenge you. Really, invite your families to the Easter outreach. Some of you, I've prayed about your loved ones. Why don't bring them? No matter how far it is. You know the four friends in the Bible who brought the paralyzed man to church? To church. Jesus was there. Wherever Jesus is there, it's a good place to bring him to. You know what Jesus did? Because of the four friends, Jesus healed that guy. Not because of the guy's faith. Okay? That goes against the very teaching of the Pentecostal church, that you need to have more faith. No, in that situation, Jesus saw the faith of the four friends and healed the guy. God can save the guy if we just have enough faith to trust God that he's going to save. You know, if God is touching your heart, how is our evangelism life? Do I feel a sense of responsibility for my brother or sister in Christ? And how zealous are we for the lost? You know, and do I believe in the power of the gospel? If you believe in the power of the gospel, like this brother whom I spoke to, the reason why I'm doing all this is because souls are dying and going to hell. Souls are dying and going to hell. Does that affect you? Paul is going to the next three chapters, deal with the whole area of sin and why it destroys. And then he will teach on how Jesus Christ came in and save. I hope you keep coming so that your faith will be grounded. But I hope that these challenges in us, if you are a Christian, if you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior, can I challenge you? Can I put this to you? Obey how Paul is teaching us to relate to one another. Be thankful for one another. Pray for one another. Long to see each other. Right? Meet the other person to hopefully impart some spiritual gift to that person so that the person can grow and be established in the faith. So that you can mutually also grow in Christ. And ask God for a ministry in your life. And parents, can I challenge you? Don't just pray for our children to be well-to-do in this world, to be well-educated. Pray for your children to have a ministry. The only way your children will have a ministry is when you have a ministry. Because the children will see what dad does and mom does. What is important to mom and dad will be important to the children. That we need to have what is important to God. And our children will see. Let's close in our prayer. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much that the Apostle Paul gave us the example of his relationship with the believers at Rome, whom he's never met. But God, the first thing he did was thank God for them. Lord, I pray for a heart of thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for Ambassador. Thank you for everyone who has come and left. I thank you for everyone who has stayed and want to be faithful. Lord, I thank God even for non-believers who have come. But most of all, I thank you for the Christians, Lord, who want to remain faithful. Despite the trials, oh Lord, there are some believers in Christ carrying burdens sometimes too heavy for them. And yet they are willing to be faithful. Lord, I thank God for them. I thank God, Lord, for even Christians who do struggle on a daily basis, and that's normal for a Christian. The Father, that they will learn to depend on you rather than themselves. Help us to learn to pray for one another, Lord. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. Can I just challenge us, Christians? You've got someone in your mind. Let's spend the next 30 seconds. Just pray for that person. Okay, we just spend the next 30 seconds in prayer. And if someone in your mind, whether your loved ones or whatever, pray for the other Christian, okay? Just in this next 30 seconds. Then after I'll close. Father, I'm sure that many of us have been praying for maybe our loved ones who are not safe. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to pray for them. Oh God, let not just be here, but Lord, every time we have an opportunity, help us to pray for our loved ones, pray for our friends, pray for our Christian friends. Pray for those who may be going through the hard times. Pray for those who are in sin. Pray for those, Father, who need Christ. Pray for those who want to do right and they are growing in Christ. Pray for the teenagers who are becoming, Lord, for the ice skating. Pray for the uncrowned. Pray, Lord, that you help us to pray for one another, that we might be mutually encouraged. Father, I pray that you help us to be a Christian who will relate to one another in the way that you want us to relate. Yeah, it's the many things this world does to have fun and pleasure, Lord, and don't believe there's anything wrong with that. But Lord, I pray that we will live the principles of your word, that we'll be thankful, we'll be prayerful, that we want to encourage one another, that we'll share our zeal and burden for the ministry, for souls dying, going to hell. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray you bless everyone who's listened intently to this message. And Father, I pray for one person who may just need to do business with you, Lord. I ask that you will not let that person go until you've settled them. For someone who's not a Christian, I pray that they will settle them with you before they leave. Lord, for the believer who need you to be their encouragement and strength, I pray you will do that for them. For someone who needs to repent of their sin, I ask you, Father, to also encourage That's much encouraged, Lord, but to just to convict them, I'm sure you're doing it right now, Lord. That they will leave that sin, they'll return to Christ, and keep on growing. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you, Lord, that you're such a compassionate God. In our weakness, you're our strength. In our lostness, when we lose direction, you are our direction in life. So, Lord, thank you, you are our way. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray you bless the activities that are following. For those who have come, I pray that they will leave this place with a blessing in their hearts. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.